Well, this morning is obviously an excellent example that answers the question of the series that we began a couple of weeks ago called Why Church? Why is it important to be a part of a local church? Why church? You see, the church is a place that we rejoice together. It is a place that we celebrate together. It's a place that we enjoy and do life together as a group of blood-bought, redeemed children of God. You know, the reality is we're on a journey together, aren't we? You know, some people like journeys and some people don't like journeys. Some people are just kind of like, get me where I got to go quickly. It's all about getting to the destination. That's cool. Other people really like journeys. My wife loves journeys. My wife is actually likes journeys a whole bunch. Many of you know we just got back from a 9,000-mile journey across country with four little kids and one not-so-big kid, right? 9,000 miles in one vehicle. 9,000 miles in one, you know, no matter how big the thing is, how many of you know, sometimes it's just not big enough. That's a lot of time together. That's a lot of driving. That's a very long distance. But she loves it. In fact, we both really love the journey. It's interesting. A couple weeks ago, my precious wife celebrated her 25th birthday again. And I said to her, honey, whatever you want to do, you know, we had a plan. Her birthday was on a Tuesday, and on Wednesday we were going into Manhattan, and we were going to watch a concert on the boat, you know. But on the day of her birthday, I said, whatever you want to do today, it's completely up to you. Now, keep in mind, this is in the context of just coming back from a 9,000-mile journey. I said, wherever you want to go today. She said, I'd love to take a drive out east and go to Montauk. I'm thinking, we're going to be in Montauk on Tuesday, Manhattan on Wednesday. You just got back from a 9,000-mile trip. That's somebody who loves a journey. Someone who loves to drive, or someone who's just completely crazy in love with me and wants to spend time with me. Oh. You see, my 9,000-mile trip, man, it was awesome. We headed out for Utah and Yellowstone and Mount Rushmore and back home. You see, those were the destinations. My truck was the vehicle that we used to get to those destinations. And my family were the people I journeyed with. You see, what made the trip so much fun was not so much the destinations. And they were cool. I mean, they were like, you know, wow, unbelievable. But that wasn't the highlight. What wasn't the highlight so much was necessarily the vehicle, the tool, if you will, the truck that got us there, although I love my truck. What made it so cool were the people I journeyed with. The people who I was in the car with for 9,000 miles. As a matter of fact, we got to connect with Pastor Tom and Diane and Ken and Charlene in Utah. And man, it was just like icing on the cake. And the journey to be with friends and develop stories and all kinds of remember whens. And the journey was awesome. It just made Bryce Canyon prettier. It made Yellowstone more magnificent. It made everything so much better. It didn't change, but my enjoyment changed because of the people I was journeying with. How many know where I'm going? Listen to the writer of Hebrews. I love the writer of Hebrews. In chapter 12, let's take a step back, though. Let's look at chapter 11. Here's the backdrop of Hebrews chapter 11. We're reminded in Hebrews chapter 11 of what? All the heroes of the faith, right? Our example. I mean, they were just lifted up as role models and as examples. Not because they were perfect, obviously, but because they held on to somebody who was totally perfect. Hebrews 11 is a great display of what God can do through ordinary and flawed people, right? And they were flawed, you know. I mean, a character study on any one of those characters, you realize they were a character. Look at Samson. Look at David in his darkest days. Look at Rahab the harlot. That wasn't her last name, right? They were flawed. And Hebrews 11 is given to us so that we can look and see what God can do with ordinary, flawed people. It's encouraging. We read in Hebrews chapter 11 about the offering of Abel. We read about the faith of Enoch. The fiery preaching of Noah. We read about the obedience of Abraham. The devotion of Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. And we read about the steadfastness of Moses. And the trust of Joshua. And if those weren't enough, the author just adds in people like Rahab and Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel, men and women who, like you and I, were on a journey. They all lived at different times. They all lived in different geographical locations. But they were on a journey. And what Hebrews chapter 11 does is it highlights these men and women who are ordinary, flawed people who got a hold of a perfect God who loves to operate and manifest His glory through ordinary, flawed people. But the writer of Hebrews doesn't just give us this list of characters and stories in Hebrews chapter 11 just to kind of send chills up and down our spine. There's a reason that that's there. There's a reason that's been given to us. I mean, these are our examples. I mean, this is the audience, if you will. This is the illustration that the writer of Hebrews is giving to us. He's letting us know that they, although living at different times, they were on a journey. And as I said before, they weren't perfect, certainly. But they're on a journey. And it's after that that he makes the connection and lets us know that, you know what? They weren't the only ones on a journey. Now take a look at your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to go through it real slow together for a moment. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, therefore. How many know what we look when we time we see the word therefore, we find out what it's there for? It's a reason. What we see there is a connection from what he said to what he's about to say. He's letting us know that all what he just said is being used as an illustration to make a tremendous point with us. And here's the illustration. Therefore, we also. Huge. I mentioned this a number of months ago. Unbelievable. What he just did is he just made a connection between all of those heroes in the faith and us. He just said, basically, therefore, we also, in the same way, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. What the writer of Hebrews is making clear to us. He lifts up the name, he lets us know the story, he lets us know they're on a journey, and then he says, and you, church, are on a journey also. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, he lumps us all together. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking where? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. What he's doing here is he's saying, listen, take a look at all these flawed people. They're just like you. They were on a journey, you're on a journey. Partner up together, and what we see here is they are literally cheering us on. And I don't know what that looks like in the spirit realm. I would love for God to just kind of open my eyes and see what's going on out there, right? But what we see here is they are literally cheering us on. They're the great cloud of witnesses. And ultimately they're saying, man, listen, we did it, you can do it. They are not here. Their stories are not there to send chills up and down our spine, but it's to let us know what God can do with ordinary, flawed people that will look to Him. And what they're literally saying is, man, go for it. You're almost there. You see, their journey's over, right? But ours isn't. We're still on our journey. Not how many, you know, thank God we know where the destination is, but we're on this journey. And they're cheering us on. Go for it. You can do it. You're almost there. It was funny when we were hiking in Bryce Canyon, and it was a long hike, and it was a hot day. And there weren't any signs that told you, you're almost there, you know? And you kind of knew, like, the exit area was kind of, it was up on the elevated area. It was 8,300 feet that we had to hike. And, like, you just get to the top. You're like, where's the exit? No, and the trail brings you back down again. It's like, I don't want to go down. I want to go up. But the only way to go up is to go back down. And so we go back up. And it was like, you know, 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. We're sweating. I'm thinking, you know, and my kids are getting tired. Dad, is it almost over? And, you know, it's almost there. Keep going. Actually, I said to him, I said, listen, as soon as we turn the corner, there's a snow cone machine. So mean. They didn't think it was funny after the second or third time. My wife didn't think it was funny either. But it's kind of like, you know, when's it over, you know? Cheering them on. Come on, guys. You can do it. You can do it. That's exactly what what this cloud of witnesses is doing. They're praying for you. They're cheering you on. They're letting their lives' examples are still preaching today. You see, they've arrived, and like I said before, we haven't. But what I want you to grasp this morning is the importance of realizing that not only are you on a journey, but so is the person next to you. We are on a journey. We've been called by God to journey together for a season of life. I don't know how long we'll be here. I don't know. Maybe God will call you to Africa or whatever. I don't know how long. But for now, if this is where God's called, we're called to journey together. You're on a journey. And you see, in the same way that my family, who was on the same journey as me, jumped into my truck and we drove together in that vehicle, the local church is the vehicle that God uses to help us grow and mature, to help us be spurred on and encouraged to look more and more like Jesus, to grow more and more in our faith, to be the kind of people that God wants us to be. The local church is the vehicle, if you will, that God is using today to encourage, equip, and manifest his presence through people. And the local church is not a building. The local church is not an administration. It is not a hierarchy. The local church is a body of believers made up of ordinary people that are on the same journey together. And so when I talk about the local church, it's not merely Integrity Christian Fellowship located on One Old Dock Road. It's you and it's me. It's us. Some people talk about the church like they do their marriage. I love marriage counseling. Those of you who do marriage counseling. So tell me, how's everything going? Well, I'm fine and she's fine. It's the marriage that's a problem. Oh, so let me get this straight. So you're doing everything right and she's doing everything right. It's the marriage that's the problem, right? So like you're doing good, you're doing it, and it creates a problem. Like the marriage is some separate entity, you know? And I always say, no. You are the marriage. The marriage is made up of you and you. And so if you're doing what you're supposed to do and she's doing what she's supposed to do, there really shouldn't be a problem anywhere. The marriage should be just fine because you are the marriage. Now, ladies, you can go like this if you want to your husband. That's all right. I understand. You are the marriage. So don't complain about the marriage being a problem. But we do the same thing with the local church. Bunch of flawed, impersonal, imperfect people that we are. We say, well, you know, the church, you know, I don't want to get involved in the church because, you know, the church has hypocrites and the church has this, and church has that. You are the church. I am the church. It's not some separate entity. We got to get this mentality that the church is an institution out of our minds. We are the local church, flawed in all, baby. It's us. Sorry. Like it or lump it, it's us. And see, what God has called us to do is to journey together, to be to each other what we need to be so that we might encourage one another, so that we might challenge one another, so that we might spur one another on to good works. Hey, listen, man, I see you going through a tough time. I've been there. I know what you're going through. Let me stand with you in prayer. Yeah, that stinks. I know that hurts, but you know what? I'm here for you. It's the body of Christ being for one another and to one another what God designed for it to be, whether it be correction, whether it be encouragement, whether it be, you know, how many of you have been on the receiving end of the 2x4 ministry, right? What are you doing? You know? Sometimes in love, I jumped out of my pastoral suit and I just want to shake people. Do you realize what you're doing? Do you realize the consequences you're bringing on yourself by doing this? For those of you that were in that seminar last week, I'm Hamadi. Be encouraged, Tom's not. So it's why we're a good team here, right? So if you want firm and direct, get what you got to do, come see me. If you want to be encouraged and cuddled, come see Tom. Okay. That was not in my notes. Strike that from the CD. It's not right. But that's what we need, isn't it? We need a little bit of all of it. I need to be encouraged sometimes. I need somebody to be able to say, you know what, you're right. That wasn't fair what happened to you. What are you going to do about it? Or you might be, or I have someone come up and say to me, hey, you know what? Yeah, so, you know, they did that. They did worse to Jesus. Get over yourself. It's not about you. I need that once in a while. Appreciate that, honey. No. We need each other. And see, your life experience uniquely equips you to help me be what I need to be. In my life experience, and my spiritual gifts uniquely equip me to help you to be what you need to be. And so when we talk about the local church, I've got to be so careful. It's kind of like, you know, like saying, you know, like me talking about how bad the Balsamos are. Those Balsamos, no, it's me. I'm talking about myself. You know? We're on a journey together. God's allowed us to enjoy this time of life, forever, however long we have it, wherever, forever long we are geographically in this location, to be to one another. What started in Acts, in the book of Acts, the local church. That's why we're introducing our new ministry called Cohesion, the upcoming and long-awaited home group ministry here at Integrity Christian Fellowship. It is high time. It is long overdue, and it's very interesting. I'm sure so many of you, like me, have had some... Anybody have a bad experience in home groups? Right? Yeah, you can raise your hand. It's okay. It's kind of like, yeah, I don't want to really... You know, I tried that before, and there are a bunch of weirdos, you know? How many of you had this experience at home group? Can you pop that video clip on there?
Hey, welcome to Fellowship. Come on in. Come on.
So seeing as this is a fellowship group, we are going to get really close together. So why don't we all just take a second, just scooch a little bit closer together? Don't be shy. Don't be shy. Come on in. Let's get close. Hi there. Hi. See, now we're all really close together. Yeah, go ahead. Get
the group,
close.
We talked about some suggestions that we
actually,
like to...
Kelly, if I could just kind of just stop you right there. You know, that's great, but we're kind of on a schedule here, so we need to kind of keep things moving along. So why don't you just keep your thoughts to yourself? Okay. We're going to move all into some memory verses here. So Ryan, if you wouldn't mind sharing your memory verse with us. Okay, never mind. We'll just move right on. Ephesians 2:10, we'll just forget about that in the Bible. Yeah. Anyways, how is everyone doing?
Well, my sister, she went into the hospital this week. She's really sick, and it's just really, really hard for me right now, and I just don't know what to do, and...
Melissa, if you wanna use the bathroom, it's just down the hall. Because this face-to-face stuff, it's really awkward.
Yeah. It's Marcy.
Okay, then. Well, then I guess we can all just remember to pray for Barry and his rash on Barry. And we can all pray for Ryan, because Ryan, he's got that gambling problem, you know. You could also pray for Steve. As we all know, Steve, he fell off the wagon again. So next week, we were supposed to meet at Joanne's house at 7 o'clock sharp. Remember that, Alex? 7 sharp. But with all the trouble that she's having with her husband, maybe it's just safer to have it here, you know, because of all the throwing. So we're going to have it here at 7. Same time next week. Okay. Well, if anybody needs anything, I'll be at the door ready to show you out. Okay. Bye. Well, I think that went well.
I haven't been to a home group like that. That's not what we're doing. We're not doing anything like that. And then what we've been talking about, and as we've been developing our cohesion ministry, there's a reason why we've been taking so long to do it. Because we want to be able to kind of hear from people and saying, what worked for you? What doesn't work? Let's take our culture into consideration, our people into consideration, and our time constraints into consideration, and all that fun stuff. And so I know the biggest challenge as we get ready to launch Cohesion in a couple of weeks is to get over that kind of a experience that maybe you or maybe you've had. And what I'm going to pray that you do is dismiss any preconceived ideas that you might have had about home groups and talk about, you know, give an opportunity for the Lord to really allow you to catch on to what we're doing here at Cohesion. What does cohesion mean? I love the definition of cohesion. Cohesion is the... I was hoping the timing would be there. No. There we go. Cohesion is the act or state of sticking together tightly. I like that. I think it's Webster's or one of those, you know. It is the act or state of sticking together tightly. How many have had people come and go in their lives so many times that you don't want to get close with anybody anymore? Well, let me encourage you by saying you don't need to do that right away at Cohesion. There's no time limit. What we're looking to do is create an environment where you can organically, right? That's a good way to do it. Like naturally develop genuine relationships that provide for you, as I mentioned a couple weeks ago, the opportunity to earn the trust of other people so that they can become a friend to you and that the church can be what it needs to be to the other. That's one of the definitions. The next definition of cohesion is it is the bonds or glue that brings people together in society, particularly in the context of cultural diversity. I like that. It is the bond or the glue. So what is that? Well, the glue is the Holy Spirit manifesting himself through relationships with one another. That's really what it is. When we talk about the glue, the cohesion, the thing that keeps us together, ultimately what is it? It's the Holy Spirit manifesting himself through relationships to one another. Thirdly, it is the links. It is the links that hold together and give meaning. Cohesion, I pray, will be what defines us as a church. That people will look and say, you know, they really love each other. They're really committed to each other. They don't live in denial or anything, but they just kind of like, you know, there's a genuine care and nurture for one another. It's what links them together. They're stuck together. Fourthly, it's the bonding together of members of an organization unit in such a way as to sustain their will and commitment to each other, their unit, and their mission. It's the very thing that keeps us together, keeps us focused. What's our mission? To know Christ and make him known in the world around us. And what God has called for us to do is to partner up and team up with one another so that we could be first to each other what we need to be so that we might be that much better equipped to be to the world what it needs. And what is that? The hands, feet, and heart of Jesus. That's what the world needs. And then lastly, Cohesion is the sermon-based small group ministry here at Integrity Christian Fellowship. Cohesion seeks to accomplish what our large gatherings on Sunday mornings can't possibly do. What is that? It's the building of meaningful relationships with one another. Sunday mornings are great. Thank God for the bagel time. We get to connect with each other and talk with each other a little bit. But, you know, if you're like me, you've got family things going on Sundays afterwards. Sometimes you got to fly out the door. And really, how much are you going to really connect with somebody on a Sunday morning? Right? And how many people are you going to be able to really connect with? But what cohesion will do, it'll allow us to accomplish that very necessary ingredient in our lives, in the homes of one another. Cohesion is an avenue by which we will draw off of the strengths and the experiences and wisdom of one another. See, maybe you say to your husband, well, that disqualifies you. No, he's got something to say. He's got some wisdom he wants to share with the group, right? It's where we learn from each other. I mean, there's some of you who have been through things that I've yet to go through. My kids aren't teenagers yet. I want to learn from your mistakes. I really do. That's where the body of Christ needs to be to each other, isn't it? Cohesion is going, God has made us relational beings, isn't he? No man is an island. God has made us relational beings, and cohesion is an opportunity to build on and develop new friendships while on our journey together. Cohesion is going to complement the Sunday morning service by allowing us to take it deeper and talk about how it applies to our everyday life. Helping one another bring truth from theory to practice. How many times you hear something, I hope you hear it once in a while, something on a Sunday morning, say, that's really great. How do I apply that in my life? Or on Tuesday, you're thinking, what was it I thought was so great? And sometimes some of you, don't be embarrassed if this is you, some of you come up and say, oh man, you know that thing you said was like so profound, it was awesome. Really, what was it? I don't remember, man, but it was great, you know? Good, I'm glad it made such an impact. It's wonderful, right? I'm right there with you, so don't, you know. But see, what this will do, what we're looking to do is to take the Sunday morning sermon. Because see, the reality of it is, and I shared this with some folks the other day, I don't get my sermons out of a book, and I don't have like a, you know, I don't get like, hey, here's your 52-week, you know, your 52-week sermon outline. What I actually do is I really go before the Lord and say, God, what would you say to Integrity Christian Fellowship? I'd rather not get behind the pulpit than just come up there and throw my ideas out there. And so what I pray to God happens is that as the Lord is impressing his heart for our congregation with me on Sunday morning, and I deliver it to you, that now you're taking it to another whole level and encouraging each other with it. Hey, how are we going to apply this? How can I hold you accountable in these areas? How can I encourage you? How can I help you to work this thing through? As the church being the church, the way God designs for it to be. Cohesion is the means by which we can draw off of the spiritual gifts of one another in ways that only the context of a small group will allow. There's so many of you that have spiritual gifts, but no opportunity to exercise them in any way. And we need them. And what this will allow for us to do is, in the context of a smaller group, allow those different areas of gifting that God's put into your life to feed the body of Christ. Cohesion is the avenue by which we can better ensure that nobody is being left out. Nobody is slipping through the proverbial cracks, while being a place that people receive the hands-on ministry that we all need from time to time. I've been so thankful for so many that have been coming week after week, new folks every couple of weeks. It's just been a blessing. But my heart grieves for those who slip out the door at the back and just go out unnoticed. And I think, you know, nothing wrong with them. We're not doing something right here. We need to create an avenue where the front door is really wide open and the back door is really small. Where it gets difficult to just disappear. Without somebody saying, hey, I noticed you weren't there. Is everything going okay? Is there anything I pray for? How, you know, it's all of us being the body of Christ to each other so nobody slips through the cracks and everybody gets the hands-on ministry that we all need from time to time. How many know we all need it from time to time? I know I do. Cohesion will be an effective tool to open the doors of our homes to our friends and loved ones who don't know Christ. Many of you have friends that will not darken the door of a church. Because it's kind of like, you know what, yeah, you know, maybe you've said this in the past, I'm not going to go in there, the roof will cave in, you know. They might never walk in through the door of the church, but they'll come into your home. They'll get together over a cup of coffee and a piece of cake. And man, what a great opportunity of evangelism to invite friends and neighbors and loved ones to these events, so that it's a very non-threatening relational opportunity to share Christ. Let them see Christianity in action. It'd be wonderful. Cohesion will be an avenue for us to partner with one another for various missions outreaches. One of the things I'm looking forward to is, we don't know exactly how many groups are going to be yet, as it's still in the evolution stage, but what I'm looking forward to is each group taking on some kind of a missions project. Whether it's something as local as working and helping out with the Lighthouse mission, or something as global as going to Haiti or Africa, or supporting a ministry over there, or whatever. But could you imagine if 7 or 8 different groups are all involved in some kind of mission together? I think I just heard Donna say we're going to take our mission trip to Hawaii. Was that what you just said, Donna? I see you laughing over there. Some of you are thinking, how do we work this? But could you imagine? All of us working together. See, I don't want to go and help that person's, you know, that person's step that's broken. I don't want to go do that by myself. But if I got a team of people with me, it becomes a project. It becomes something that now we're journeying together. Hey, remember when we went and did that? You did that stupid thing, and you know, blah, 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 blah. You know, it's relationships. It's allowing our church to be big and small at the same time. I never want to be big without being small. I don't ever want to be small either. But I don't ever want to be big, because just big is not relational. Just big turns into theatrics. Just big becomes, you know, downright shallow. I had to apologize to somebody this past week. I said, you know, I saw you on Sunday, and I knew they were going through a storm. And I didn't have time to talk, and I said, hey, how you doing? And I just kind of moved on, and I thought, I just grieved myself and thought, I know you're struggling. I didn't mean to flippantly just throw that out there, you know. But we do that in our busy life. I'm sorry, I know you can go to Tom. Pastor Tom. Why church? Why be a part of a local body of Christ? Because we're on a journey together. And see, on this journey, God has provided a vehicle called the local church. A team of people that God has put together to journey together, to grow together, to impact others together, to laugh together, to have fun together, to go fishing together, to go on vacation together, to draw off of one another, to do life together. That's what God's called us to. And it saddens me when I see people apart but not apart, and I think, oh, if you only tapped into some of the people that are here, they're so wonderful. And I don't want to sound like sound like a false humility, but you know what? The greatest thing about this church is not what goes on up here. And it's not what goes on behind me. The greatest thing about Integrity Christian Fellowship is what's out here. And I know that sounds like something I'm supposed to say as a pastor, but the truth of it is, that is what makes this body unique. That is what makes this body close. That is why many of you continue coming week after week, because you walked through the door, and the moment you walked in, somebody said, hey, it's nice to meet you. Welcome to the church. And they weren't the pastor. They weren't somebody who was supposed to do that. It was just someone who genuinely cared about, hey, thanks for coming. Because they remember in the recesses of their mind how difficult it was to walk in the church for the first time. Remember that scenario? Like, everybody's looking at me, you know? There's nothing like just breaking down that wall and saying, hey, it's good to see you. Welcome. Can you make yourself at home, you know? Could you imagine how that will get to the umpteenth degree is while we're doing that on Sunday, if it's taking place in different home groups all over Long Island, all over this area that God's called us to. Now I know we're busy. Can I be D for a moment? I know that we all have the same kind of hours in our week, and I know that this would present a challenge in our time schedule. But you know, if you think about it, there's a reason why what we're doing is during our home group time, we're shutting down every other area of ministry. We don't want to create competing ministries so people have to pick and choose and say, well, I only have this much time. We want to be sensitive to that. But you see, if we're disciples of Jesus Christ and we're wanting to grow in our walk with the Lord, a Sunday morning in a 90-minute small group thing at some point during the week is not a lot. And if it's too much, I want to encourage you, lovingly but clearly, really examine your calendars and ask the Lord if your priorities are right. Because the reality of it is what I'm calling you to and appointing you to is not just a new plan that we're looking to roll out for the church. But you know what? It's the biblical model of Christianity. And so cohesion isn't something we're going to try. Cohesion is something we're going to do. And we're going to tweak it, and we're going to change it, and it's going to grow and develop, and it's going to be a product of all of your input, all of your experiences, all of your relationships. And what's cool about cohesion, it's going to probably look a lot different a year from now. And that's what we want to happen, because we're going to be growing as individuals and being able to clarify what works and what doesn't work. We have an open book to how this is going to look. We just want this to be effective. We want to be able to be for one another what we really need to be. And so I pray as we continue to release more and more information, that you'll be praying about this. And again, forget about what your experience was if it was like that other freak show that took place before. And give an opportunity for real people who really love God to connect with you. You might be surprised. Father, thanks so much for this church family that you've put together. God, we've had an exciting 4.5 years and are growing in so many different ways and still have so much more to grow. And so, Father, we pray that as we lift up cohesion to you and all that it will do, Lord, the last thing we want to do is roll out a program. But instead, we want to have a plan. A plan for us to disciple one another and encourage one another and be the church to one another in the way that you've called for us to be. And so, Father, I thank you that you've put the kind of people here that you have that makes it easy. And so, Father, I pray that as we go forward, I pray that we'd march to the audience of one, that you'd lead us by your Holy Spirit, and that, Lord, your hand of blessing would be on this ministry. Thank you for our time. And, Lord, thanks for these folks that have come out today. I pray your blessing on them. And as we go our separate ways today, Lord, be glorified in our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen.